And the reason I was interested to learn that song this morning is simply because it fitted in so well with what we're going to be talking about. Last week, we started a new series, which I've borrowed from Rick Warren, which is called Habits of Happiness. And the idea is that these are things that we can get into the habit of doing that will make us happier. This is not a complex idea. And as well as making us happier, they will grow us as followers of Jesus, which is a process we call discipleship. And that leads to increased contentment and satisfaction and sense of purpose and all sorts of other things. And the habit we started with last week, which we're going to continue looking at this week, is the habit of giving. And so we began that by thinking about what could be the most important promise in the whole Bible from Philippians 4, verse 9. Here it is. It says, "You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours from Jesus." That is an incredible promise. And we saw how it's not a hope or a wish or a dream or a possibility. You can be sure, it says. It's a guarantee from God. And we talked about how the word everything means everything. I mean, it really does mean everything. It's totally all-encompassing. Spiritual needs, emotional needs, financial needs, physical needs, relational needs. God will take care of everything you need. That's not the same as God will give you whatever you want. If that's what you're looking for, then you'd be better hunting through caves for old lamps to rub and hoping that a genie will pop out. But whatever you need, God will take care of, because God is extravagantly, overwhelmingly, outrageously generous. But we also saw last week that the promise has a premise, a context in which it's based. And the context, the basis for that promise, is the verses that lead up to that, which are about us living lives that are generous. We're not going to read them all again this week, but you can go back and look at them yourselves. Because the more we are generous with our time and our money and our skills and our love and our forgiveness and with our patience and with our energy and with our encouragement, the more that we are going to receive those things in return. That's not because God is saying, "I will only meet your needs if you give me lots first." It's because God is saying, that's how life works. It's just a universal truth. You will reap what you sow. You will get back what you give out. And so that's why it says in Proverbs 11:17, "The kind and generous man benefits himself." In other words, it is in your own interests to be generous. That sounds good as a principle. But when it comes to specifics, and in particular when it comes to the specific of giving our money, that can be quite challenging. But this is so important. And that's why Jesus spent so much of his time talking about money, because he knew that you can spend all your time getting more money and more things and more stuff, but ironically, none of that is actually worth anything. Because life is not about money and things. Life is about love. It's about learning how to love. It's about building relationships. And if you spend your life building up a huge pile of things, but you're estranged from your wife and you never talk to your kids and you've got no relationship with God, you've completely missed it. So what I want us to do today, having summed up what we said last week, is to look at four actual benefits of being generous. There are more than four, but we're just going to look at the top four today. The kind and generous man benefits himself. How exactly? And then briefly at the end, we'll talk about some of the practicalities of giving to God, tithing and all that stuff. So, four benefits of being generous. Actually, I didn't pray when we began this. Let's just do that. Father, as we grapple with this topic and we study what you've got to say in your word about giving and about generosity. We do pray that you would open our eyes to understand what this means for us in our lives, each one of us today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, four benefits of being generous. First one is, every time I'm generous, I earn the gratitude of others. I want you to spend just a few seconds bringing to mind the people in your life that you are most grateful for. You don't have to share this with anyone. Just think back through your life about who you would really want to give thanks to God for. That was an excuse for me to have a drink. And I think what you'll find is that the people that you are most grateful for are the people who have invested in you. People who've given you their time, or their money, or their energy, or their patience, or whatever. They've given it to you. That is why you are grateful for them. I earn the gratitude of others. Earn is a funny word, because usually when we talk about what we earn, we're talking about money. So let's put it this way. You earn a living by what you make. But you earn respect, and you earn gratitude, and you earn a reputation by what you give. You earn a living by what you make. You earn a life by what you give. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about in chapter 4 of Philippians, which is the passage we started with last week. He says this, "How grateful I am, and how I praise the Lord that you are helping me again. It was so good that you helped me when I needed it. You Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news. No other church did this. You sent me aid again and again when I was in need. So I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me." And that's why he begins his whole letter to them back in chapter 1 by saying this, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. It is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God." Question. Is anybody grateful for your generosity? Can you think of 5, 10, 20 people who would say, "You have been so loving, so giving, so generous. I am so grateful for you." When we are generous, we earn the gratitude of others. That's the first thing. Second benefit of being generous. Every time I'm generous, I show what really matters most. I show what really matters most. Why? Well, what matters most? Things or people? Okay, so again, like last week, this is not a trick question. What matters most? Things or people? Well done. Things do not matter most. Life is not about the acquisition of things. When you give, when you're generous with your time, with your money, or with your energy, or whatever, every time you give, you are showing what matters to you. Tell me how you spend your money and your time, and I will tell you what matters to you. If we look through your diaries or your bank statements, what matters most to some of you is your hobbies, or your sports, or your children. Now, I'm not saying any of those are wrong. I'm just saying there is a direct link between what you spend your money and time on and what matters most to you. And Jesus said it like this, "Wherever your money is, your heart is going to be there too." Now, listen, because this is really interesting. When Jesus spoke about this, we might have expected him to say something like, "Don't care about where your money is going." But he didn't. Because he knew that he might as well have said, "Don't feel hungry if you don't eat for 3 days." But that would be nonsense, because if you don't eat for 3 days, you will feel hungry, just as you will care about where your money goes. So instead of telling us to do something we can't, instead, he tells us to address what we care about most. This isn't about the money, it's about what the most important thing in our lives is. So when I am generous, it shows what matters most. Third thing, every time I'm generous, I become more like Jesus. Who here wants to be more like Jesus? Okay, some very slow hands. And if you're a Christian and you've not got your hand up, there's a problem somewhere. Because that's what discipleship is all about. It's about becoming more like Jesus. And every time I'm generous, I become more like Jesus. Why is that? Because Jesus is the most generous person that ever lived. Jesus is a giver. Why does generosity make me become more like Jesus? Because giving is the essence of God. God is a giver. If God was not a giver, then none of us would be here right now. Because everything in my life and everything in your life is a sheer gift of God. If God wasn't generous, we would have nothing. The air that we breathe, the sun that shines down on us, the fact that my heart is beating, the fact that I have lungs. I didn't earn these lungs. I don't have a right to this life. It was given to me out of God's great generosity. If God wasn't a generous God, I would never have been created. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down to us from God our Father. And everything in your life is a gift of God. Everything. You might think you've earned all your stuff, but where do you think you got the ability to earn? Where do you think you got your ability to think, to work, to plan, to create, to use whatever skills you have? It's all from God, because God is generous. And God wants his children to be like him. Now, if you think I'm overplaying this generosity thing, if you want to say, yeah, Ian, but surely the greatest attribute of God is love. Well, yes, I completely agree. But what does that mean in practice? The most famous verse in the Bible is completely about God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love and generosity go absolutely hand in hand. Because although you can give without loving, you cannot love without giving. It just doesn't work. Fourth benefit. Every time I'm generous, I strengthen my faith. My faith gets stronger. Why is that? Because when I take something that I've got, and instead of using it for me, I use it to help you, then I am going to have to depend on God to help me. I've only got a certain amount of time, and I've only got a certain amount of money. So when I've got to get all my stuff done, and I stop and instead I help my neighbor with my time, guess what? Now I've got to trust God to help me with a little bit of time I've got left, that he will expand it and make it all work. Why? So I can get the stuff done that I need to get done. He does the same with money. When you start giving your money, he will always provide. When I've only got a certain amount of energy as well, and I go and invest it in helping somebody else, and yet I've got all the stuff on my to-do list to do, that is a statement of faith. I'm depending on God. I'm going to say, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm not going to worry about it, but instead, I'm going to pray about it, and with faith and thanksgiving, I'm going to expect you to take care of all my needs. Every time I give my time, my money, my anything else, my faith grows stronger. I've spoken before about faith being like a muscle. How every time I give, it is exercising and developing that faith muscle and making it stronger. Philippians 4:6 says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. In other words, I'm just going to trust God to meet my needs. And every time I do that, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Every time I'm generous, I earn the gratitude of others. I show what really matters most. I become more like Jesus, and I strengthen my faith. Now, in the last few minutes we've got, I want to finish by being really practical and talking about how we actually give. Because although we've had teaching about money several times over the last few years, I don't think I've ever talked specifically about how we should give. And several people have asked me about questions about tithing and tax and the building fund and stuff like that. Now, if we were Jews living in the Old Testament, our starting point would be very simple. God's law says to give a tenth of everything you earn or make or produce to God. That's called a tithe, 10% of what you produce. So if your farm produces 50 lambs, you give 5 of them back to God. If you sell olive oil and make 20 shekels, you give 2 shekels back to God. 10%, that's the law. But most of us, in fact, as far as I know, all of us here, are not Jewish, and we aren't in the Old Testament. We're New Testament people living under the New Covenant. And that means we are not bound by the law. So does that mean that we don't have to tithe? Well, legally, yes, it does mean that. The law of Moses does not apply to us. But all that I've been saying this morning about giving and about generosity still does apply. And when we think about it in terms of generosity and in terms of a loving heart turned towards God in thankfulness, and in terms of the fact that everything we have is a gift from God, then we see something very important. What we see is that God isn't really delighted with an attitude that says, here's my 10% because that's the law. He is delighted with an attitude that says, I want to make giving to God a priority in my life because I love him. My giving is going to come first, and I'm going to reorganize other things to fit in with that. And the easiest way to do that is called planned percentage giving. Every week or every month, whenever you get paid, the first thing you do is give God a percentage of what you get. And then if you want to be wise, you put another percentage aside to save, and then you live on the rest. You give, you save, you live on the rest. Where does God come into that? First is the answer. Yeah, you give, you save, you live on the rest, and God comes first in that. Now, that is different to the way that many people approach giving. And incidentally, I'm not just talking about Christians here. This is good financial sense, whoever you are. The approach many people have is, I will spend what I need to maintain my lifestyle, and if there's any left over, I'll save it. And if I happen to be asked for money by a church or a charity or whatever, then I'll put something in if I can afford it. Now, if you do it that way, where does God come in that process? Last, thank you. And who comes first in that process? Yeah, I do. Now, I'm not trying to judge you if that is how you you organize your finances right now, but I do need to challenge you to put God first. Give first, then save some. That's just sound financial sense, and then live on the rest. And so then the question is, okay, how much should I give in the first place? I said this was called planned percentage giving. Well, so the principle is that you give God a percentage of whatever you earn. And I want to suggest that although 10%, the tithe, isn't the law for us, actually it is a really good starting point. But there may come a point where you think, you know what, I've got a good job, which of course is a gift from who? From God. And I'm earning a really good salary. I'm going to increase the percentage of what I give from 10% to 20% or 30%. or 40%, and so on. Another people question ask is, okay, if I'm going to give 10%, should that come before or after tax? And again, there is no right answer to that. Do whatever you feel God is prompting you to do. There's really no answer, no right answer to that. Personally, Lindsay and I work out the percentage that we give after tax, but we make sure that the money we give is gift aided, because that means that the church can claim the tax back. And how much you give in the first place is up to you, but actually if you pay tax, you've really got no excuse not to sign up to gift aid. It costs you nothing, and what you give remains confidential. And if you want to find out more about gift aid, then please speak to David afterwards, and he will be delighted to give you a form. Here's another thought. I said this was called planned percentage giving. So if you really want to plan ahead, how about planning for what happens when you die? Now, I'm not going to go into this in great detail other to mention the idea, but leaving a gift amount in your will would be of great benefit to the church. And depending on how much your estate is worth, could also reduce your inheritance tax bills as well. Again, if you want to explore that more, speak to David. He might need to get back to you on that one. Next question people ask, do I have to give to the church? Well, the simple answer is no. You can give to whoever you want. Again, to be personal, most of our giving goes to this church, but we give directly to a couple of other charities as well. Now, I said that's a simple answer. In fact, there is slightly more to it than that, which we haven't got time to go into today. But if you want to explore that one further, if that's an issue for you, then do come and see me and we'll have a chat about it. Last point to think about. I said these were going to be very practical. Last point to think about, and then we'll finish. How about the building fund? Because although the fundraising group has got all sorts of exciting plans events that it's organizing to raise money for the building, although we're exploring grants from different organizations, a significant amount of the money for our new building is going to have to come from us. Now, I don't mean we have to raise it. I mean we have to give it. And again, I'm not trying to put pressure on anyone about this. God does not want us to give out of guilt. But I believe he is going to be calling us to give on the basis of love and thankfulness, sacrificially, beyond our normal giving percentage, to see his plans for this church come into action. Giving our money away is scary. But you know what? In all the times that I have spoken to people about their giving, I don't just mean since I've been a minister, in my whole life as a Christian, whenever I've spoken to people about their giving, or when I've heard people tell stories about what God has done in their lives, not once have I heard someone say, "I really regret increasing the amount I gave to God." Not once. I have never heard someone say, "I started tithing properly and now I'm really stressed about my lifestyle." Let me repeat what I said last week. This is not a prosperity gospel. This isn't promising you great financial riches if you give more to God. But God will never let your generosity outdo his. Here's that Philippians verse again from the Message. You can be sure that God, keep going, I'll tell you anyway, you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours from Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you know how this is a subject that is so close to our hearts, and we're really uncomfortable actually even talking about it sometimes. But you want the closest thing to our hearts to be you. And actually we want that too. We want to hunger and thirst after you. And we want to be able to use all the resources that you've given us, all the gifts that you've given us, so richly. We want to be able to use them for you. Thank you for that extraordinary promise that you will meet every need we have. And Lord, out of thankfulness, we want to get better at giving back more to you. Our money, our time, our energy, our efforts, our thoughts, our skills, all these things. Lord, help us to turn this into a habit for our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.